Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us and for loving us and for giving us these moments that we could come together and open your word and read. Thank you, God, for your promise that your word is living and powerful, that it is the sword of your spirit that you cut within us and you expose us and you draw us to you and you make us be what you want when we read this word. So as we have the privilege this morning to read together, we ask that you would do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So last week we looked at a question. We're looking at the why questions, the why this or why that or why the things that maybe don't make sense on the surface and the things that maybe are hard questions to ask, things that are hard to reconcile with, you know, what the Bible says about God, but then what real life says about life and us and stuff. And last week we looked at a question which was, okay, why is it hard to read the Bible? Why is it hard for me to open up this book? Why is my hand magnetically drawn to the remote control? And it's like there's an opposite, you know, when you put two magnets together, but they're flipped, and so they like repel each other. There's a word for that. I'm not a scientist. That, it feels like that sometimes with the Bible. It's like, I know I should, but it just, later. So we saw that question. We looked at that question last week. And the question we're going to look at this week comes out of that. And the question is, why is it hard to, when I actually crack it open and do some reading, why is it hard to understand it? So it's hard to read, and then I finally get it open, and I'm reading, and I do a little bit of reading, read the verse of the day on my app, or read a couple chapters, and it's just, I don't get it. Why is it hard to understand the Bible? Why is it hard for me to get my mind wrapped around it? It's sometimes, you know, when you're talking to somebody, and their eyes glaze over, and you know you lost them. I'm not talking about anybody right now, maybe in a little bit, but you know when you're talking, and their eyes glaze over, and you're like, yeah, like, your kids? You ever have that with your kids? And you're taught, and you're like, this is really important, and they're gone. They don't understand what you're saying, and they're in a different place, and they're shut off, and you're like, oh, you get frustrated. You're like, well, why am I even telling you this? I'll tell you later when you want to hear. It's you don't get it. And they're frustrated too because they have to listen to something they don't want to listen to. Sometimes reading the Bible feels like that. Like, I don't get it. So I'll just kind of shut off that part of my mind and I'll just read through, you know, on my phone, I'll read through and check off the day. The day's checked off. Did it. I read the Bible. I'm done. Didn't understand it, didn't get a lot out of it, kind of have that blank look on the face of my mind on the inside. And it's that might be some of our experience sometimes, or maybe a lot of times, is a bit ironic because, look, God gave us a book so that we could understand him, and we read it because we want to understand him. And then instead of understanding him, we feel like we understand him less. Have you ever read the Bible and closed it, been like, it's like I understand God less than I did before I started. I was better spiritually before I tried to read the Bible. That's not true, but maybe, have you ever felt that? That it's just because it's kind of muddled and muddy at the end of it. It's a mystery. I don't get it. Why don't I understand God when I read his word? And that becomes this huge detour for us, this huge detour, because when I read, when I finally get this open and I read, and then I don't understand it, what happens? The next time I go to reach for it, it's like, oh, last time wasn't very good. This time I don't see it being any better. And I want to start with something that is not the answer to our question. Why don't I always understand God? Why do I read the Bible and not understand what I'm reading? Why don't I get it? Why don't I understand what God is saying? Why isn't it just all crystal clear to me? That's our question. I'm not going to answer that question first, but I want to go somewhere that is going to be the base, the foundation of the answer to the question. So it's not the answer to the question, but it'll get us there. Go to the book of James, chapter 1. See, the most important thing that we can do, most important thing that we could do when we read the Bible is let God speak to us. That is, and I know, that seems to be at, you know, loggerheads with our with our question, because it's, well, how can he speak to me if I don't understand it? If I don't get it, if it's not clicking in my mind, there's no way I'm going to apply it to my life. But I just want to set the stage and put a foundation out there that the most important thing that can happen when we read this is that God would speak to us and that he would change us, that we would be a different person after reading. That's the most important thing. So read James chapter 1 and go to verse 21. And we're going to drop in the middle. You can't start at the beginning because he just keeps going, and then the subject kind of gradually changes. So we're going to drop in the middle of a thought. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. And look what it says. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And this speaks to how God changes us and transforms us through his word, through the word of God. When we read this book, it's what we saw last week. It's God speaks to us and he changes us. He makes us different people. And then he's going to go into just a little, it feels like a little aside, a little jaunt down a different road. But here's what he's going to say. He's going to say how we are transformed by the word of God. What has to happen as we read this? It's not like a magical thing where you read it and you're transformed. Something has to happen. You and I have to do something in order for God to truly change us when we read. So look at verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You could say not readers only, be doers. So do what it says. You have to be in order to be transformed by this, in order for God to get inside you and make you a different person, you have to do what it says. You have to change. You have to do something when you read this, not just read, close it, you're done. It says deceiving yourselves. That's a scary thought. Isn't it? What's the deception? It's deceiving myself. It's when I read the Bible and I say, okay, I've done it. I've read the Bible. I've done what I'm supposed to do. It's magically something will happen. I've read the Bible. What did I read? I don't remember it. Remember last week? I don't remember. I close it. I'm done. I don't remember it. What should I do differently? I have no idea. Nothing is going to change in my life because of what I read. I don't even remember what I read, but I read it. I get points for that, right? There's spiritual brownie points for reading it. He says, no, you're deceiving yourselves. It's not just like getting words one after another. Have you ever read a sentence and you read the individual words, but at the end of the sentence or the paragraph, none of it went together? Bible or any other book. Studying horrible, oh, bad memories studying in college where you get to the end of the chapter, it's like, I read a ton of words and they all just went together and I need more coffee. Okay, deceiving yourselves. You didn't do anything. It was meaningless because you didn't change. Look at verse 23. So then he goes into this kind of goofy example, and I mean goofy in a respectful way because it's the word of God, but goofy example. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, so if you just read your Bible and not a doer, you don't change anything. He is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. So it's this ridiculous thought of, I wake up this morning, and I look in the mirror, and I see the hair that's all sticking. It was sticking sideways, like three different directions. It was horrible. You couldn't imagine, all perfectly coiffed now, but this morning it was multiple directions, sticking different ways. I just obviously slept on it. Eye boogers, you know, just the whole thing, too much stuff here, just it's everything wrong. And I look at that, and what a ridiculous thought to look at that. And if I'm like, and then I just keep going through my day and I show up here looking like that, there's something wrong with you. You're not socially adjusted. There's an issue. That's the example he's making. He's saying that's what it's like when we just read, don't even remember what we read, just go on. Don't make any changes. Don't do anything. But the one who looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Hearer who forgets, reader who forgets, doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That's how we're transformed by this. It's by listening to what God says, getting it, understanding it, and then doing something different. And when we don't understand it, that starts, let me start that sentence again. When we don't understand it, that short circuits the entire process, right? How can I be a doer of something that I don't understand? So when I tell my kids to do something, they look at me with the blank look. And I was like, say that back. What did I tell you to do? And, you didn't get it. So you're not going to do it. There's no way that I'm going to come to the kitchen. It's going to be perfectly clean after the instructions I just gave you because you just totally did not get that. So let's go over that again. If I don't understand it when I read it, I'm not going to do it. And even worse, I'm not going to want to continue reading tomorrow. It short circuits that entire process. We see, but we don't understand. So. Let's look at what happens when we read this and we don't understand it, and how we can maybe get over that so that when we read, we can understand and we can actually do something with what we read. And the most common, I think, reason that we close this book and say, I didn't get it, I don't understand, it's because we're dropping in the middle. You know, when you're dropping, you ever dropping in the middle of a conversation with two friends and you like respond before really listening a lot? You hear like a couple things, you hear the verse of the day, you hear a chapter, just, you know, like, I'm going to read today. Okay, read some. You hear something in conversation, then you respond, and then you look like an idiot because, yeah, that's not what they were talking about. And you were, it was something totally different. And we drop in the middle. We just drop in. We don't understand the whole story. We read isolated parts. I read a chapter here, and then I'm going to flip over here, and I'm going to flip over here. And I've never read the whole thing, and I'm not even reading a whole book. I'm just kind of dropping around and jumping around and reading little tiny bits, and I'll read some this week, and then I won't read for a few days, and I'll read a little bit over here. And we're not seeing enough. That's why we don't understand, isn't it? I drop in, I don't get it. So I close it, I'm like, yeah, what was that even talking about? There was a statue of a man and his feet were bronze and his face, what in the world? And I close the book and I say, that's craziness. I'm sure somebody gets it. I'm sure if I asked the preacher, he would know. I mean, the preacher always knows, right? But we don't see the whole thing. We don't get the story. That's why we don't understand. It's like, have you ever tried to, like, recently just see one Star Wars movie, but you see it with someone who's seen all of them multiple times and remembers them all? And I love my kids, but so infuriating how they remember all the little details, and they know the difference between a Boba Fett and a Jabba Fett and a Jabba the, and just all the different things, and then you get them wrong. And the only thing you remember is you hate the one with the big ears because he's just silly. But they know all the parts, and you drop in the movie, and the movie's pretty good, but you don't get all the references, and you don't get how it fits in this whole monolithic story that they're going to keep making up until they can't sell any more Legos. You don't get the whole thing. You just see one little slice of it. What's the solution to that problem when we drop in the middle and we don't get it all? What's the solution to that? It's reading more. That's what it is. It's reading more. It's dropping in and reading more in the moment. So starting at the beginning of a book, starting at the beginning of Ephesians and reading it. And then when I get to the end of Ephesians, maybe after a couple days, so reading more, reading bigger chunks like we said last week, but then getting to the end of Ephesians in a couple of days and then saying, you know what? I'm going to jump back to the beginning. I'm going to read some more. I'm going to read Ephesians 3 or 4 times. I'm going to try to get more of it. It's reading Old Testament and New Testament. And then, you know, until you can say, yeah, I've read the whole Bible multiple times, and I'm starting to piece the parts together, and it just makes more sense. So when I drop in and I read 1 Peter, I understand a little bit better what's going on. I know why Han Solo did the thing, and I get the story. It makes more sense when I drop in and see it. That it clears up the more you read. And if you say, well, yeah, that takes time, it does. But the thing is, along the way, you can apply what you read to your life as you go. You don't have to understand all of the ins and outs and wherefores, but in order to apply what you read today. So if you start reading today and you read Ephesians chapter 1 and you get to the end of it, God, and you say, I don't get how that works. And how is the cross and Jesus, and is this before the Gospels or after the Gospels? Or and then that thing in Genesis, I don't get all of it. But you can, what you read that day, as you're reading more and getting more, then you're like, this is going to take a couple of years or the rest of my life, and it will. But what you read today, God can talk to you in that. You can hear God's voice in that part that you read today. The key is you have to ask questions of it. You have to think about it. I love, there's two questions that I love to do, and these questions These questions turn us into people who look in the mirror, the Word of God, and then go and make changes in their lives. So every time we read, we can walk away, even if we don't get how it fits into the whole story and there's questions. And questions are this: what did it say? Not what is everything saying? What is the thing that I just read say? You can ask that about a paragraph. You can ask about a book. You can ask about a chapter. You can ask about anything you read. So what did it say? What did it say? If we were more of a call and response, we're gonna say it back to me, but we don't have to do that this morning. I get it. But just think in your mind, respond back in your mind. What did it say? So what did the thing say that I read? That's the first question. Second question, what should I do? That's it. If every time we read the Bible, we ask those two questions, what did that say? They're like, I don't remember. You know how many times I've finished reading and I've asked myself that question? I've been like, oh, wait, yeah. Let me go back and just skim that again because I don't remember it as well as I should, having just read it. What did it say? Then what should I do? What changes would God have me make in my life based on what I just read? What's the application for me right now? You say that and you say, yeah, okay, I get that. But actually, the reason I don't understand the Bible a lot of times isn't because I don't see the whole story, or I get where Ephesians sits in relation to the rest of the Bible. I get how that works. My thing is a little bit more complicated. The reason I don't understand the Bible, maybe you're thinking this, the reason I don't understand the Bible is because, well, it's more complicated. There's like contradictions. There's verses that appear to be saying different things. I don't get how it works together. I don't understand. There's questions. I read and it's like, I read some things and I'm like, I could lose my salvation if I'm a Christian. I read other stuff and I hear other people talk and use verses and they say, well, once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, which one is it? Everybody used verses to back up their point of view on that question or on any question. It's like there's verses that appear to be saying this, verses that appear to be saying the other thing. I don't get it. That frustrates me and it confuses me. Or think esoteric things, like I'm reading along, it's like, who were the sons of God who came down and saw that the daughters of men were beautiful? What were they angels? Were they demons? What was that? What do we do in those moments when we're reading along and we find things that seem to not make sense? Or it's like, that appears to be a contradiction. Does God save us, or do we have to decide? How does it all work? I don't get it. I understand what I'm reading. I'm past that point. I get what I'm reading, but I don't. It seems like it's contradicting itself almost, or there's hard things to understand. And in those moments, it's really easy to drop into endless debate, either with ourselves or with other people. And then our Bible study turns into, I got to figure out how everything fits together, and I have to figure out these points of this one particular point of doctrine. I have to get that straightened out. And we go on Facebook and we find other people, and then it's fun because we can find people who really disagree with us and they're really wrong. And so we can go back and forth and discuss and argue about things. And you know what we're not doing when we do that? We're not applying it. We're not being doers of the word. We're being arguers over finer points of the word. We're not being doers of the word. We're getting lost in interminable questions. We're trying to be like God. We're trying to get in our minds how everything works and have every question answered to our understanding. And let me give you something that has really helped me. And I've gotten this from other people over the years. The latest instance of this whole idea being helped was last week and the week before. Randy and I had some conversations afterwards, and so I'm gonna quote him in a couple of instances in this. But this is just an idea that's been developing in my mind. It's helped me when I've come to those points. It's like, is it this or is it this? It can't be both of them. It has to be one or the other. I don't get what God's trying to say here. Look over at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Look at what it says about God. Look at what it doesn't say about you and I. Look at what it says about God. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Something that Randy said a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this is, if I don't understand it, if I don't get how this part works with this part, if I don't get how does God keep me saved, or do I have to keep myself saved? Does God produce in me the to will and to do it according to his purpose, or do I have to work out myself with fear and trembling? And in my mind, it has to be one or the other, and they're both there in that instance. In Philippians 2:12 and 13, right next to each other. So I'm saying, which one is it? I don't get it. I'm trying to, and then I end up a lot of times, you know, twisting one kind of out of context and making it say something it's not clearly saying, so that it fits in my mind with this other verse over here. I don't think I ever said the thing that you said. If I don't understand it, that's my problem, not God's problem. That's on me. That's because I'm not getting what God is saying, and that's because I'm not God. How unsearchable are his ways, his wisdom, his knowledge. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. We are supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our mind. We're supposed to think and try to understand and know the mind of God. That's one of the big reasons why we read the Bible. We're to get to know him better and how he thinks. At the same time, we have to hold on in our hand this idea that he's bigger than us. I will never understand why he makes his decisions and says everything, and it will not all fit together perfectly in my mind in this lifetime, in the same way that a little child will never completely get everything their parent is thinking and all the things the parent is taking into account. Look at Isaiah 55, look at verse 8 and 9. This is God talking. That's an important distinction. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He is not us. And that is the danger many times. Listen, I never get into arguments about, is it Arminianism or Calvinism? Is it this human system of doctrine or this other human system of doctrine? Because the problem is, when we come up with a system that codifies and defines everything in a way that we can understand, now we've made God in our own image. And there's not a place in our mind for God is bigger than me. And I will never completely, no matter how much I try to love him with my mind and understand how he thinks, I will never be able to get my mind completely around everything. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are different than my thoughts. He is bigger than me. And the biggest mistake we make when we try to homogenize everything and make it all fit together perfectly, we forget. This is a verse Randy gave me last week. This is a good verse. Look at Psalm chapter 50. Not in contrast to bad verses. They're all good verses, but this is, in this context, this is a really good verse. Look at Psalm chapter 50. Look at verse 21. Look at what God says to them about himself and about them. These things you have done, and I have been silent. And look what he says to them. You thought that I was one like yourself. You put me on your level. When you read the Bible, it's easy to do that. Well, clearly what God means to say, and it has to mean this, and it can't mean that, and it has to. God says, you thought I was like you, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. We have to have the category in our minds as we're reading the Bible of, I don't understand it, but I accept it. I don't understand how this fits with that, but I'll accept this and I'll accept that, because God is clearly saying this and he's saying that. I don't understand at this moment how it all fits. I still don't understand. But I will accept it, even if I can't fit it all together and explain it to you. And then when we're in those moments, the solution and thing that saves us from falling into an abyss of how does it all work is, look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So the stuff that God has let us understand, there's stuff we never will get in this lifetime. But what we do understand, why does God let us understand it? that we may do the words of the law. And that jumps us right back to James chapter 1, doesn't it? Do it. Don't just listen to it. Don't just argue about it. Don't just try to figure out how everything works together so that you can explain it better than the next guy and you feel better about yourself. The solution, when I read any of those verses, it's like, how does that work together? I don't get it. Don't understand it. How does Philippians 2:12 work with Philippians 2:13? Is it that one or is it that one? I don't get how they both work. Is to close my Bible at the end and then ask the same two questions. What does it say? What is that clearly saying there? And what should I do? What should I do? And what should I do jumps us over all of the, I'm not sure how that works over here, and I can't totally explain that, and I couldn't preach a sermon on this verse, but what should I do? Yeah, I see what I need to do. God is talking to me through his word, through his word. And then when we ask those questions, God speaks to us. So get to the end today. And yeah, many times when we read this book, don't understand it. Things don't make sense. Don't see how it fits in with everything else. So what do we do? What's our application? Listen, if you're not a Christian, the same God that desires to speak to you through his word, as incredible as that is, if you've not surrendered yourself to him and given yourself to him, part of what we're saying today is, yeah, he wants to talk to you. But even more than that, the same God who wants to speak to you through his word, he wants to be your father. He wants to adopt you into his family. He wants to put his spirit inside of you. That happens when you come to him and you surrender to him, when you repent and are baptized and you give yourself to him. When you do that, you become his child. And then as you read this book, the one that you're listening to, the one that you're saying, what did you just say? And what should I do? What should I change? What do you want me to do? Father, because he's your father who's speaking to you through his word. And in this community, in this family, when you say, I'm ready to do that, I want him to be my father. Tell someone. You can repent and be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, listen, the application is deceptively simple. It's ask the two questions this week. Just try it for a week. Every time you read this and close it, every time you're on your phone, close out the Bible app, flip it up, and it's done. You're done for that. You've done your reading for the morning or whatever. Ask yourself the two questions. What did it say? What should I do? What did it say? What should I do? What did it say? What should I do? And I'm repeating that because I want to drill those into my mind and your mind, because it's a deceptively simple application. This is a really easy one to say, yeah, I'll do that. And I know from experience, maybe you're different than me, but my experience is every time I say, I'm going to do that, every time I read the Bible, I'm going to say, what did it say? And what should I do at the end? I'm going to let God apply it to my life so that I can be a doer of the word and not just a reader. You know what I do? I forget to do it. I close the Bible and I say, ooh, I read the Bible today. Doing good. I forget to say, what do you want me to do? What did I just read? What did it say? What should I do? So I don't know if I've said it enough times to drill it into our minds. I hope so, because our Bible reading changes. Even when we don't understand every little thing, even when we get to the end and say, I don't get how that all fit together. But what did it say? Well, it said this. I don't get that all, but I said that. What should I do? This is what I should do. This is what I should change today in my life because of that. God always answers that question. He always answers that question. What should I do, God, because of what I just read? He always will answer that question. So that's the challenge. When you read the Bible this week, close it up. Say, what did it say? What should I do? Then let God tell you how to change based on what you just read. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together. And then we will sing. To God, we come to you and we thank you. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you invite us to be your children. Thank you that you remind us even when we forget how powerful your word is, how powerful your spirit is in us, and how you transform us. So God, I pray that you would remind us every time we close our Bible this week, to ask those questions. What did it say? What should I do? Remind us of that, God. And as we ask that question, together we ask you that you would answer it. that you, through your Spirit, you would guide us into all truth, and you would tell us what to do, even when we read things that we're not quite sure exactly what the whole thing meant. Show us what you want us to change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.